Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. Honeywell just announced the biggest aerospace spinoff in a decade, and the stock's down nearly 10%. That tells you everything about how this market views corporate restructuring right now.
Yeah, and it's not just Honeywell. We've got FedEx spinning off their freight business, Spirit collapsing entirely, and fuel prices that have basically doubled since February. The whole sector is getting reshuffled.
Which brings us to our main story this week, how balance sheet strength is increasingly separating the survivors from everyone else. We'll break down the Honeywell spinoff mechanics, what FedEx's freight separation signals about logistics strategy, and why fuel crisis bankruptcies are accelerating industry consolidation.
Plus, we'll look at who's actually buying in this mess, because someone's stepping up while others are stepping out. Let's dive in.
This week's narrative was industrial separation under stress, companies with strong balance sheets using the fuel crisis to restructure and position for recovery, while weaker players face existential pressure.
Right, and operationally, we're seeing two completely different responses to $4.50 a gallon jet fuel. The strong operators are pulling forward strategic moves they probably planned for 2027 or 28.
From an investor perspective, this is the balance sheet quality trade playing out in real time. The market's not just pricing current earnings risk, it's repricing who survives the next 12 months with capital to grow.
And that's creating some pretty stark divergences. Defense names holding up because government contracts provide cash flow certainty, while anything exposed to consumer discretionary travel is getting hammered.
The most important signal this week came from Honeywell's aerospace spinoff announcement, a major industrial restructuring that the market initially punished despite the strategic logic.
Operationally, this split gives the aerospace business focused management and eliminates the conglomerate discount that's been weighing on both divisions.
For investors, it's a pure play bet on aerospace recovery with a cleaner capital structure. Exactly what institutional money wants when betting on the cycle turning.
But that stock reaction tells you the market's not ready to pay up for optionality right now. Down nearly 10% on what should be value-creating news.
This week, TSA screened 12.9 million passengers, up 3.9% year-over-year and 2.6% above the three-year average. So underlying travel demand is still holding despite everything.
That's actually pretty remarkable when you think about what's happening with ticket prices. Airlines are passing through fuel costs, but people are still flying.
Let's walk through what moved this week. Honeywell got crushed, down 9.5% on the spinoff news. That's a pure sentiment play. The fundamentals of the deal are sound.
RTX was your biggest gainer, up nearly 4%. Defense exposure is working right now. Government contracts mean predictable cash flows while everyone else deals with fuel volatility.
The major carriers were a bloodbath across the board. The big network airlines all down 5-6%, and even Alaska took a hit despite that new board appointment.
And then you've got the eVTOL names just getting obliterated, down around 20% across the board. Those are venture stage companies trying to raise capital in a risk-off environment.
FedEx down 2% on their freight spinoff, which is actually pretty mild considering the scope of that restructuring. The market seems to view that one more favorably than Honeywell.
Defense held up across the board. The primes gaining, some up about a point. When everything else is uncertain, investors want that government contract backstop.
What matters is the pattern here. This isn't random stock picking. It's a systematic repricing based on balance sheet strength and cash flow predictability.
Exactly. The market's asking one question right now. Who can handle 18 months of $4.50 jet fuel without cutting capex or canceling orders?
And the answer is increasingly obvious from these price moves. Defense contractors? Yes. Major industrials with diversified revenue streams? Yes. Pure play airlines and early stage aerospace? Absolutely not.
That's why I'm watching the credit markets more than equity prices right now. When fuel costs double, your operating leverage goes through the roof, and not in a good way.
The more important signal is that companies are using this crisis as cover for moves they've wanted to make anyway. Honeywell's been talking about aerospace focus for years. FedEx has been weighing freight separation since 2024.
Crisis creates opportunity, but only if you have the balance sheet to act on it. That's the real story behind these numbers.
Let's dig deeper into this Honeywell Aerospace spin-off, because I think the market's completely misreading what's happening here. They're not just splitting up to unlock value, they're positioning the aerospace business for the next upcycle while everyone else is in survival mode.
I'm not so sure the timing makes sense, though. You're spinning off an aerospace business right when the sector is getting hammered by fuel costs and supply chain issues. Why not wait for better conditions?
That's exactly backwards thinking, Mike. This is the perfect time to do it. Look at the mechanics. They're distributing one Honeywell Aerospace share for every two Aon shares on June 29th. Shareholders get a pure-play aerospace investment without having to pay the conglomerate discount.
But you're also getting a pure-play aerospace investment right when aerospace is facing its worst operating environment in years. Honeywell's Building Technologies business provides cash flow stability that the aerospace division loses in this split.
Here's where you're missing the strategic picture. The aerospace business has been subsidizing underperforming building tech segments for years. Now it gets dedicated management, focused capital allocation, and, this is key, the ability to pursue aerospace-specific M&A opportunities.
Okay, walk me through the value case then. What does the aerospace business actually become as a standalone?
One of the largest pure-play aerospace franchises you could create. Defense contracts, commercial aftermarket, and next-generation propulsion, all under focused management. As a standalone with a clean balance sheet, it should command a premium to where it's buried inside the conglomerate today.
Maybe, but that assumes aerospace multiples hold up. The whole sector's derating on fuel costs and supply chain stress, so carving out a pure play could just concentrate that cyclical risk rather than unlock value.
Which is exactly why the market reaction makes no sense. Down 9.5% on announcing a value-creating transaction? That's pure sentiment, not fundamentals. The aerospace business maintains its defense contracts, its aftermarket service revenue, and its position in next-generation propulsion systems.
I think you're underestimating the execution risk here. Corporate separations are messy. You've got shared services to untangle, IT systems to duplicate, management teams to rebuild, and they're doing this while dealing with supply chain chaos and customer financial stress.
Sure, there's integration complexity, but Honeywell's been preparing this for months. The filing shows they've already established separate debt facilities, identified the management structure, and negotiated the separation agreements. This isn't some rushed decision. It's been in planning since at least last year.
Let me push back on something else. You mentioned M&A opportunities, but who's buying anything right now? The entire sector's capital constrained. Airlines can't afford new aircraft. Defense budgets are getting squeezed by debt service costs, and private equities sitting on cash waiting for better entry points.
That's exactly the opportunity. A standalone Honeywell Aerospace with a clean balance sheet and dedicated aerospace management can pick up distressed assets from competitors who can't handle this cycle. Think about Spirit AeroSystems. Someone's going to buy those production capabilities at a massive discount.
Now you're talking about a completely different investment thesis. First, it was about unlocking conglomerate discount value. Now it's about being a consolidator in a down market. Those require very different skill sets and risk profiles.
They are complementary strategies, not contradictory ones. The spin-off gives you the focused management team that can execute consolidation plays, plus the simplified capital structure that makes M&A easier to finance and integrate.
I'll give you this. If they can pull it off, the timing could be brilliant. But the stock reaction suggests institutional investors aren't convinced the aerospace management team can execute both the separation and the growth strategy simultaneously.
Which creates the opportunity for investors who can see past the near-term execution noise. When fuel prices normalize and aerospace demand recovers, you want to own the companies that use the crisis to gain market share and streamline operations.
The fuel price assumption is doing a lot of work in that thesis. What if we're looking at structurally higher energy costs for the next several years?
Then, aerospace companies need to accelerate efficiency improvements and next-generation technology development. Exactly what a focused, standalone entity can do better than a diversified conglomerate. The spin-off positions Honeywell Aerospace to lead that transformation rather than react to it.
All right, let's shift to the second major corporate action this week, FedEx spinning off their freight business. This one feels different because it's separating a profitable, growing division rather than trying to fix operational problems.
Completely different strategic rationale, and that's why the market reaction was so much milder. Only down 2% versus Honeywell's 9.5% decline. FedEx Freight has consistently outperformed the package delivery business, especially in this inflationary environment.
Right, because freight customers have less pricing sensitivity than residential package customers. When trucking capacity gets tight, shippers pay up to move goods. FedEx Ground is competing with Amazon on last mile delivery, where every penny matters.
The separation mechanics here are fascinating too. They're distributing 80% of FedEx Freight to shareholders while retaining 20% for potential strategic partnerships or future monetization. That's much more sophisticated than a clean split.
It also gives them optionality to buy back into the freight business if conditions change. But I'm wondering about the operational synergies they're giving up. Shared pickup routes, consolidated sorting facilities, integrated customer relationships, those have real value.
They do, but the filing shows those synergies were already being eroded by different service requirements and customer bases. Freight customers want different pickup schedules, different tracking systems, and different pricing models than package customers.
The timing on this one makes more sense to me than Honeywell. Freight markets are actually pretty strong right now. Trucking rates are elevated, capacity is tight, and industrial reshoring is driving long-term demand growth. You're spinning off a business at the top of its cycle.
Exactly. And that creates value for both entities. FedEx Package Delivery gets to focus on competing with UPS and Amazon without freight capital requirements dragging on returns. FedEx Freight gets dedicated management and the ability to pursue freight-specific growth opportunities.
But here's what concerns me about both these spin-offs. They're happening right when the parent companies might need maximum financial flexibility. What if we get a deeper economic slowdown and these separated entities struggle to access capital markets?
That's the trade-off, but I think you're overestimating the downside. Both Honeywell Aerospace and FedEx Freight are going to be investment-grade credits with established market positions. They'll have better access to capital as focused entities than as divisions of larger conglomerates.
We'll see how that plays out over the next 12 months. The credit markets are already tightening, and adding new issuers into a challenging environment could test that assumption pretty quickly.
So, we've got two very different market reactions to what are fundamentally similar strategic moves. Is this cyclical positioning or structural differentiation?
I think it's both. Honestly, the Honeywell Aerospace spin-off got hammered because investors see pure aerospace exposure as maximum cyclical risk right now. But FedEx Freight held up because freight markets are actually counter-cyclical to passenger aviation.
That's a great point. When fuel costs spike, freight pricing power goes up because trucking gets more expensive and capacity tightens. But aerospace suppliers are stuck in long-term contracts with airlines that are bleeding cash.
Right. And the market's pricing in very different recovery timelines. Freight demand recovers with general economic activity, maybe 12 to 18 months, but aerospace recovery requires airlines to regain pricing power and start ordering new aircraft again, which could take years.
But here's where I think the market's making a mistake. The aerospace spinoff actually reduces Honeywell's cyclical exposure by separating the volatile commercial aviation business from more stable defense and building technology revenues.
Except shareholders are getting both pieces, so the total exposure doesn't change. What changes is the transparency. Now investors can see exactly how much aerospace cyclicality they own instead of having it buried in conglomerate numbers.
And that transparency is precisely why this creates value. Portfolio managers who want aerospace exposure can buy the spinoff, while those who don't can sell it. The sum of the parts trades at a premium to the conglomerate.
That logic works in normal markets, but we're not in a normal market. When everything's correlated and investors are de-risking, complexity gets punished regardless of the theoretical value unlock.
Which brings us back to the fundamental question. Are we looking at a temporary sentiment overshoot or a permanent repricing of aerospace risk premiums?
The fuel price environment suggests it might be more permanent than we'd like to admit. Even if crude oil stabilizes, refining capacity for jet fuel is constrained, and carbon pricing is only going up from here.
So the base case is gradual aerospace recovery as fuel markets normalize and airlines rebuild capacity. But the key risk is structurally higher operating costs that durably impair aircraft economics.
Now let's look ahead to the key catalysts that could confirm or contradict these narratives. Four specific items I'm tracking next week.
First up, watch Boeing's supplier conference scheduled for Tuesday, because it will confirm or contradict whether the supply chain is stabilizing enough to support production rate increases.
Second, watch the EU Aviation Safety Agency's decision on sustainable aviation fuel mandates, because it will show whether regulatory pressure accelerates the shift to higher cost fuel alternatives.
Third item. Watch RTX's Investor Day presentation on Thursday, because it will reveal how defense contractors are positioning for the next budget cycle amid competing fiscal pressures.
And fourth, watch the June passenger revenue figures from the major carriers due Friday, because they'll confirm whether airlines can maintain pricing power despite reduced business travel demand.
Those Boeing supplier meetings are particularly important because they'll tell us if the production bottlenecks are easing or if we're looking at extended delivery delays that keep aircraft values elevated.
The EU fuel mandate decision could be the bigger catalyst, though. If they accelerate the timeline for sustainable aviation fuel requirements, that's another cost layer that hits airline margins just when they're already stretched.
True, but it also creates massive opportunities for whoever can scale SAF production efficiently. The regulatory clarity could actually unlock investment capital that's been sitting on the sidelines.
That RTX Investor Day will be telling too. If they're talking about increasing defense production capacity, that suggests they see sustained elevated demand from the geopolitical environment. If they're focused on efficiency and cost reduction, that's a different signal about budget pressures.
And those passenger revenue numbers will separate rhetoric from reality on airline pricing power. We keep hearing about strong demand, but the proof is whether that translates to yield improvements that offset fuel cost increases.
Any one of these could shift the narrative significantly. If Boeing shows supply chain improvement and RTX talks about capacity expansion, suddenly aerospace looks like it's through the worst of the cycle.
But if the EU accelerates fuel mandates and passenger yields disappoint, we're looking at extended margin pressure that validates the market's current pessimism.
That's what makes this such a critical week for sector positioning. We could get clarity on whether this is a temporary fuel shock or a permanent shift in aerospace economics.
So, we started this week talking about balance sheet strength separating survivors from casualties, and we're ending with corporate restructuring as a strategic response to crisis. And the market's very different reception to these moves tells us everything about where investor confidence stands right now.
The divergence between Honeywell down 9.5% and FedEx down only 2% on their respective spin-offs shows the market's making very nuanced distinctions about cyclical exposure and recovery timelines.
Bottom line, this is a sector in transition where the companies with strong balance sheets are using the crisis to position for the next cycle, while the market's still pricing in worst-case scenarios for anything with pure aerospace exposure.
That's it for this week's Aviation Intelligence Weekly. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. Always do your own research before making investment decisions. Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. Want the inside track on aviation's biggest players? Aviation Intelligence Weekly brings you expert analysis of airline earnings, breaking industry news, and deep dive company histories. From American Airlines to Boeing, we cover the business of flight every week. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.